Welcome to Let Me Scare You, the podcast where we dive into the chilling world of horror and macabre. I'm your host, Corey, and I'll be your guide through the eerie legends, spine-tingling tales, and all the things that go bump in the night. Get ready to embrace the darkness and let the scares begin. Welcome to Let Me Scare You. I don't need jump scares. I don't need monsters bursting through walls or screaming violins. All I need is a story. Because the scariest things aren't hiding under your bed. They're hiding in history, in police reports, in forests where no one was watching, and sometimes they're hiding inside the human mind. Tonight I'm going to tell you 6 short stories. Some of them really happened, some of them never did. But I won't tell you which is which, not at first. I want you to feel that doubt, that uncertainty, that moment where you ask yourself, what if this is real? So get comfortable, turn the lights down, and if you hear something behind you, just remember, you asked me to scare you. Welcome to this episode of Let Me Scare You. It's called 6 Stories That Don't Want to Be Remembered. Story 1. The 9 Who Never Came Back. The wind screamed like something alive. 9 hikers stood at the edge of the Ural Mountains, their boots sinking into snow that swallowed sound. It was February of 1959 and the temperature was dropping fast, well below zero. They were experienced, prepared, strong, and yet none of them would survive the night. Sometime after sunset, something forced them to abandon their tent. Not politely, not carefully. The tent was found weeks later, slashed open from the inside. No signs of struggle, no signs of an animal attack. Bare footprints led away from the campsite. Bare. Some wore socks, some wore nothing at all. They ran into the forest into the dead of winter like they were fleeing something that didn't want to be seen. One body was found curled beneath a tree, 2 more nearby, skin blackened from frostbite. Another was discovered with a fractured skull, no external wounds. One woman was missing her tongue. Another had crushed ribs. Injuries doctors said were comparable to a high-speed car crash. Comparable to a high-speed car crash. There were no tracks except their own. No evidence of violence from another person. No explanation that fully makes sense. The official report closed with a single sentence. The hikers died due to compelling natural force. Whatever that means. To this day, no one can agree on what chased 9 grown adults into the frozen dark or why it didn't follow them out. And this story was true. And here's why. This is the Dyatlov Pass incident. A real unsolved case from the Soviet Union. Investigated by authorities. Autopsies documented. Bodies recovered and photographed. Injuries confirmed by medical examiners. The mystery remains unresolved. With theories ranging from avalanches to infrasound, to military testing, but no explanation answers every detail. And story number 2. Room for one more. The motel sign flickered, like it was trying to warn me. Vacancy. The clerk didn't look up when I rang the bell, didn't ask my name, didn't ask for an ID. Just slid a key across the counter. Room 12, he said, then paused. Room for one more. I laughed, he didn't. The room smelled wrong, not dirty, stale, like air that hadn't moved in years. The bedspread was tucked too tight. The mirror across from the bed felt attentive. At 2:17 a.m., the chair moved, just an inch. I told myself it was the building settling. At 2:18, the bathroom door creaked open. I hadn't used it. At 2:19, I heard breathing. Not mine. I turned on the lamp. Nothing's there. But in the mirror, behind me, was the indentation of someone sitting on the bed. I didn't scream. I didn't move. And then I heard it whisper, "Thank you for making room." The next morning, the clerk smiled. "Sleep well," he asked. I handed him the key. There was someone else in my room. He nodded, "Of course," and asked what he meant. He leaned closer. "Room 12 has always been full." And that story is fictional. Story number 3, the farmhouse that would not stay quiet. The neighbors heard footsteps when no one was home. They heard doors slam, furniture move, children cry. But when police arrived at the isolated farmhouse, everything was silent. At first glance, it looked abandoned. Then they found bodies. A family of 6 murdered brutally, one by one. They had been killed over several days. And here's the part that makes people stop breathing. Someone stayed in the house after the murders. They ate meals. They tended animals. They slept in the same rooms as the bodies. The killer was never caught. No forced entry, no stolen valuables, no clear motive, just a family erased and a house that refused to admit it was empty. And this is a true story. This is the, I don't know how to pronounce this word, but it's Hinterkaufik murders. It's from Germany in 1922. It's got verified police investigations, multiple suspects, none convicted. It's got the evidence suggests the killer lived in the house afterwards. The case remains officially unsolved. Even today, it's considered one of Europe's most disturbing cold cases. Story 4, the last voicemail. The voicemail came from my own number. Timestamp was tomorrow. I didn't listen to it at first, I just stared at the screen. Then I played it by itself. My voice whispered, "Don't go home, he's already there." The message ended with a sound I didn't recognize, breathing. Wet and close. I didn't go home. The next day, police found my apartment door unlocked. Inside, nothing was stolen. But written on the bathroom mirror in steam, streaked letters were 3 words. "You listened." 2 words, I meant. And that was fictional. Moving right along on into story number 5. The woman in the water tank. Guests complained the water tasted strange, dark, metallic. Then the maintenance worker looked inside the tank. Her body had been there for weeks. No sounds of how she got in. No witnesses. No explanations that made sense. Security footage show her behaving erratically. Talking to someone who wasn't there. Elevator doors open and close, like they were being controlled. Her death was ruled accidental, but people still ask the same question. How did she climb inside? And why did the lid close behind her? And here is why the story is true. And that's because that was the Elisa Lam case in Los Angeles in 2013. That one has documented disappearance and recovery, hotel guests affected, security footage released publicly, autopsy ruled accidental drowning, and the unanswered questions continue to haunt investigators and the public. And that one, you can actually, I think you can see the security footage of that one on YouTube. You could dig around, bring it up. They got the footage of her running through the hallway, and the part where she's like hiding from somebody, like she's scared, peeking out of the elevator. There's actual video that you can find on YouTube. And she's running down the hall like she's running from somebody. There's parts where it looks like she's talking to somebody, but there's nobody there. And then there's a lot of speculation that hotel that she was actually in, that it's been haunted. And it's been haunted for years. And that's not the only thing that has happened at that hotel. There has been multiple things over the years. And that's a whole nother podcast. So maybe one of these days we can cover some hotel, creepy hotel stories, true and false. Maybe we'll do some more things like this, do true and false, true or false type deal. Like you guys will tell you, I'll tell you guys stories and then you can figure out if they're true or not. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get into the sixth story. And this one is titled, The Story That Reads You Back. You're listening to this right now, which means the story worked. It says that when someone hears all six stories, something follows them. Not immediately, not violently, quietly. It waits until you're alone, until you're certain nothing's wrong. Then it reminds you, with a sound, a memory, a feeling you can't shake. The story ends when you stop listening. But if you're still here, it already knows you finished. Alright, we're going to go ahead and throw in another bonus story. And this story, probably about maybe 10 minutes or so. But this story is called The Lake That Watched. Corey and Jackson had always promised they'd do something real together before life pulled them in opposite directions. Not another late night gaming session, not another someday. Something that left blisters and scars and stories nobody else would believe. So when Corey unfolded the trail map on the hood of their car and pointed to a blue dot labeled Blackwater Lake, Jackson grinned. 2 days, Jackson said. One lake, no signal, no noise. Corey hesitated. The woods beyond the parking lot pressed in like a held breath. Pines rose so close together the daylight fractured between them. People don't go missing here, Corey said. Jackson slung his pack over his shoulder. Exactly. Day 1. The trail swallowed them fast. At first it was peaceful. Pine needles crunching under boots, bird songs, the rhythmic scape of branches against their packs. But after an hour, Corey noticed something off. Does it feel like we've been walking longer than we should? He asked. Jackson checked his watch. Only 40 minutes. Corey frowned. His legs burned like it had been twice that. The forest grew denser. Trees bent inward, trunks twisted into shapes that almost looked deliberate. Marks appeared on bark, deep gouges, too wide for claws, too uneven for tools. Probably bears, Jackson said. Bears don't carve symbols. Jackson laughed. But the sound didn't travel far. It died quickly, like the woods swallowed it. Then they heard the hum. Low vibrating. Not mechanical, not natural. It pulsed through the ground and into their bones. Jackson stopped. Do you feel that? Corey nodded. Like standing near a power line. The hum cut out instantly. Silence slammed down so hard Corey's ears rang. Then the birds exploded into flight. Above them, something shifted in the sky, just for a second. A distortion, like heat ripples. But wrong. Angular. Jackson whispered, "Did you?" A flash of light tore through the treetops, and then it was gone. No crash, no sound, just the woods pretending nothing had happened. The lake. Blackwater Lake appeared suddenly glass smooth and impossibly still. Fog clung to its surface, thick enough to hide the far shore. "This doesn't look like the pictures," Corey said. Jackson crouched, touching the water. "It's warm. Too warm." They set camp near the tree line. As night crept in, the woods began to move. Not animals, shadows. They slid between trees, stretching longer than their sources, folding in ways shadows shouldn't. Corey stared into the darkness. "Jackson, why are there so many eyes?" Jackson followed his gaze. Reflections dotted the woods, hundreds of pinpricks of light and different heights. Some blinked sideways. Then the creature stepped forward. They were tall and thin, bodies like silhouettes peeled off the dark itself. Limbs bent backwards, faces smooth except for vertical mouths that opened too wide. One tilted its head. The hum returned, louder now. Corey's vision warped. The lake rippled upward like it was breathing. Jackson grabbed his arm. "Run!" They bolted into the woods. Lost. The trail vanished. No matter which direction they ran, the trees rearranged themselves. The ground sloped uphill, downhill, sideways. Nothing made sense. Corey tripped, slamming into the dirt. When he looked up, Jackson was gone. "Jackson!" No answer. Then laughter echoed through the trees. High-pitched, giddy, unhinged. Figures burst from the underbrush. Girls, barefoot. Hair wild, faces smeared with dirt and something darker. Their eyes were glassy, unfocused. "Stay with us," one sang. Another shrieked, sprinting on all fours. They chased Corey, howling, snapping branches, screaming words that didn't form language. Corey ran until his lungs felt shredded. He burst into a clearing and nearly collapsed into a steam. The water shimmered strangely, glowing faintly blue. Jackson stood on the other side. "Drink," Jackson said calmly, "it helps." Corey hesitated. The girl's screams were getting closer. He drank. The water. Reality peeled open. The forest twisted into impossible geometry. Trees folded inward like closing ribs. The sky fractured into layers. Corey saw things. Towering shapes behind the clouds, watching through the cracks. Machines grow from flesh, cities stacked inside each other like glitches. He saw Jackson standing beside him and also not. Another Jackson hovered above the lake, face expressionless, eyes black. "None of this is real," the hovering Jackson said. The ground dropped out. Day 2. Corey woke up in a tent. Morning light filtered through fabric. Birds chirped. Jackson snored. For a moment, Corey laughed hysterically. "Worst nightmare ever," he said. Jackson groaned. "You too?" They packed quickly, eager to leave. But the trail didn't match the map. Landmarks were wrong. The sun moved too fast. Hours passed in minutes. Then they found the cabin. It hadn't been there before. Inside walls were carved in the same symbols from the trees. A single message was scratched repeatedly into the floor. "You never left." The hum roared back, shaking the cabin apart. The girls' laughter returned. The shadows pressed against the windows. The lake surged upward, swallowing everything. The end. Corey ripped the headset off, gasping. He was back in his living room. Christmas lights blinked. A game console hummed softly. Jackson lay on the couch, eyes wide, frozen in place. The TV read, session time, 20 minutes and 14 seconds. Corey laughed shakily. "Dude, that felt like 2 days. Jackson didn't respond. Jackson turned slowly. His eyes reflected pinpoints of light. Somewhere deep in the console, something hummed, and the lake watched.